Hi, I'm Brad Dancer, General Manager of WSHU Public Radio. Because of your generosity and continued support, WSHU will be here for you every day in 2026 with the journalism, music, and storytelling you rely on. From reporting that helps you make sense of the world to music that brings inspiration and calm, your support makes it all possible. On behalf of everyone here at WSHU, thank you for ensuring that the news you trust and the music you love remain a vital part of our community.
Some environmental advocates say they're skeptical of New York Governor Kathy Hochul's plan to limit environmental reviews for some development projects. The review process is intended to protect water and air quality, as well as animal habitats. But Hochul says they can delay housing projects by an average of 2 years. Liz Moran is the New York policy advocate for Earth Justice.
We need more housing. There's no question about that. But the idea of environmental regulations and community input being something that runs counter to economic development is simply a myth.
Projects eligible for the fast tracking that Hochul is planning have to prove they have no significant impact on the environment. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Empire Wind may resume construction. Connecticut Democrats look to a rainy day fund as federal cuts loom. Plus, what a massive state investment in water quality infrastructure means for Long Island. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Work on the major wind farm in the waters off Long Island is back on again. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports a federal judge has ruled construction at Empire Wind can resume.
President Trump has been trying since his second inauguration to put the brakes on offshore wind power projects. Developer Equinor has said in court documents that the Trump administration's stop work order on Empire Wind will cause irreparable harm if it continues. On Thursday, the judge agreed. Equinor says in a statement it'll focus on restarting work. It's the second win for large-scale wind projects this week. A different federal judge ruled Monday that Revolution Wind off Connecticut can also resume work while the legal wrangling over the stop work order plays out. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Several Democratic state lawmakers in Connecticut want the state to spend more money from a $500 million emergency contingency fund. They created it last year to backstop federal cuts to safety net programs. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
Governor Ned Lamont is already spending about $168 million of the contingency fund, but the lawmakers want more money to be spent before their regular session begins next month. State Senator Kathy Austin is the co-chair of the Appropriations Committee. She says there's a need for some of the remaining balance to be spent on a Connecticut nutrition benefit for thousands of residents who are losing federal SNAP assistance this year due to new work requirements. She says SNAP also provides job training to residents.
This Connecticut SNAP program would cover that job coach position to make sure that people are getting the support needed to as they move into the work environment.
The lawmakers also want some of the money to be used for a community schools program, the state's Husky for Immigrants health coverage program, and for community health workers who've had their federal funding cut. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York introduced a bill to ban stock ownership for members of Congress as well as their families. She says insider trading is already illegal, but enforcement efforts have fallen flat when it comes to lawmakers.
Portfolios of members of Congress outperformed the S&P 500 by an average of 17.5% in 2022. Dozens of lawmakers ended 2025 with stock market returns that greatly exceeded the gains of the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500. At the same time, our constituents are struggling.
A study from the University of Maryland shows almost 9 in 10 Americans support a ban on stock ownership for lawmakers. A companion bill in the House already has over 100 co-sponsors. A long-term investment in water quality infrastructure is part of Governor Hochul's 2026 agenda. A conversation on what that means for Long Island is coming up. ¶¶
Hi, I'm music host Lauren Rico, and I'd love for you to travel with me to Iceland. This October, we'll explore black sand beaches, powerful waterfalls, and quiet, wide-open landscapes that feel a world away. We'll soak in the Blue Lagoon, wander Reykjavik, and on clear nights, watch for the northern lights dancing overhead. We'll be there October 2nd through 8th. You can find all the details at WSHU.org.
Former New York Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy says she's running for governor in Connecticut. She's a host on the conservative news network, Newsmax. McCoy served one term in New York about 30 years ago. She's one of several Republicans challenging Governor Lamont, who's seeking a third term. A proposal to use drones as emergency first responders in Bridgeport is still alive, even though two local committees have rejected it. Mayor Joe Ganim and some other lawmakers want to use drones to respond to fires and accidents. The matter is now before the city council. Two cadets are suing the Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point on Long Island. They say they were unfairly punished after they were accused of lying about drinking at a soccer game. They say they were given extra duty hours and their graduation was pushed back by a year. Connecticut leadership and justice advocates are calling for transparency in the state's Department of Corrections. WSHU's Janice Roman reports.
State legislators and advocates want more accountability from the state's Department of Corrections. It comes as the Government Oversight and Judiciary Committees met to review an audit of the department. State Representative Ann Hughes says there should be more transparency, given the recent investigation following the deaths of two inmates at a DOC institution. Hughes says policies that are not implemented should be investigated.
A number of us signed a letter that went out to different agency departments raising our outrage at some of these abuses, this trail of abuse happening on our watch in our system at the hands of our staff.
The committees will review an audit for potential lapses in inmate medical oversight, a decrease in officer training, and preventable deaths. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul announced a major long-term investment in water quality infrastructure as part of her 2026 agenda. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio spoke with Julie Tai, president of the New York League of Conservation Voters, about what that means for Long Island.
So $3.75 billion over 5 years. That's a lot of money.
This is a historic amount of money. And, you know, given the state's, you know, financial position, I think it's really important that she has advanced this amount of money and shown, like, knows that it's going to help us to get more jobs out there. That's going to help us deliver safe, clean drinking water, or to make sure that we're properly handling our wastewater and not contaminating our bays and our lakes and our waterways or our drinking water in the case of Long Island. We know there is great demand for water infrastructure, both on the drinking water side to protect for things like emerging contaminants. You know, we've heard about these issues on Long Island with PFAS and 1,4-dioxane. We know that some of the municipalities on Long Island got grants to help support their communities, making, you know, upgrades to their infrastructure to protect that drinking water. And we've also seen this in for sort of twofold. Like, one is building sewers where in places that are already developed in many cases. We're still looking into the details. We'll have to wait and see what's in the executive budget. But, the, you know, in the regulatory review streamlining that she's proposed, you know, the governor was talking about making it easier to build housing on previously disturbed land. But they want that to be connected to water and sewer so that it reduces the potential for impacting negatively the natural resources that would otherwise be impacted by sewer infrastructure. And so that could potentially be a really smart way of doing this, is making sure that we're not building new houses that, like, too much of Suffolk County rely on septic systems. And again, we'll have to wait and see what's in all the details when it comes out in the budget next week. But some of that funding has also gone towards upgrading the septic infrastructure so that you're moving off of these really old and leaking septic systems and onto very modern ones that really help to manage nitrogen and other pollutants out there in places that it doesn't make sense to have sewer infrastructure.
Suffolk County exec Ed Romaine has always done a good job, I think, in talking about how necessary sewering is for the overall economy in terms of housing and business development. And it looks like Hochul's doing that too.
I think there's two things. One is we want to make sure that we're not incentivizing sprawl, right? As opposed to the way she talked about housing development from streamlining the regulatory process, the review process, the environmental review process, is really talking about places that were previously disturbed, right? So we don't want to just build out water infrastructure into, you know, green spaces unnecessarily, as opposed to making sure we're having that water infrastructure necessary to support smart growth of communities. But what's also as important to highlight, especially on Long Island, is how important that impact to surface water is, not just surface water, but groundwater, right? Because, you know, Long Island is a sole source of aquifer. And if you're, you know, using bad septic systems, or you have sewer infrastructure that needs to be upgraded, then it's going to be impacting the drinking water supply, and also impacting tourism potentially, and putting, you know, health at risk when you have harmful algal blooms, for example.
Thanks so much, Julie.
No problem. Thank you so much for reaching out.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or take us with you on the go with the free WSHU app. Join me tomorrow on the radio for the After All Things weekly roundup. That's on 91.1 FM at 6 p.m. After All Things Considered. I'll speak to you then. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening and a fantastic weekend.